Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you are listening to today's interview and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, now here's a question for all you readers out there. Is there anything better than a great story that makes you feel transported to another time and place? Well, my guest right now can do that for you. She is Irina Shapiro. Irina was born in Moscow, Russia, where she lived until she was 11. In 1982, her family immigrated to the United States and settled in New York. Due to her love of reading, Irina was able to pick up English very quickly and was an honor student throughout her school career. After graduating from Bernard M. Baruch College in 1992 with a bachelor's degree in international business, Irina worked in advertising for 2 years before shifting her focus to import-export. She worked her way up to the position of import manager in a large textile house before leaving the workforce in 2007 to focus on her autistic son. It wasn't until Irina had been at home for some time that she began to write. Eventually, the characters began to take on a life of their own and have conversations in her head. And once Irina began writing her musings down, the stories came easily through. Irina incorporated her love of history and travel into her writing to create a rich and detailed background for the characters. Since then, Irina has written 17 novels, and she just finished her 6th book of the series, The Hands of Time. Irina lives in New Jersey with her husband and 2 children, and I'm ready to learn more. So, welcome to the network, Irina.
Thank you so much.
Well, now, before we begin with your books, I always like to get to know the author a bit better. So if you don't mind, would you share some of your background with us and how that might have led you to become a writer?
Well, actually, I've always loved reading and I've always liked movies, and I like that whole idea of being transported to another time via a story. But I never really wrote. I was always more business-oriented, and when I was in school, my focus was on business classes and math and calculus, and I've always liked literature, but it was secondary. It really wasn't until later that I got into writing, and it wasn't planned. It just happened. It was literally as if somebody took me by the hand and sat me down in front of a computer and said, write. And I resisted it for a while. I didn't think I could. I didn't think I had the imagination. But once I actually started writing, it just sort of started to come.
Isn't that exciting how it's an organic thing?
It really is. It was very surprising, really, because I never thought of myself as an imaginative person.
Well, now you know.
Yeah, now I do.
Now, you have an interest in time travel and the paranormal. Where did these interests come from?
No idea, really. Huh? I mean, I've always really liked history, and I've always liked period pieces. I've always liked movies about the past. So I guess what really sparked my interest in time travel was when my ex-boss recommended reading the Outlander series by Diana Gabaldon. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I really read anything in that genre. And it just really sparked my imagination. And it wasn't until later that I thought, wouldn't it be fun to write a time travel book? And as I began thinking about it, I knew that I wanted my character to go back in time. But the more important question was, when in time? Mm-hmm. What did I want to focus on? Because there's just so much history out there in so many different periods and so many different eras. And so I really had to think about where I wanted my character to land. And because subsequently, everything that happened to them would be intertwined with the history and the politics and the socioeconomic situation of that time. Mm-hmm.
Boy, and talk about a lot of research then, huh?
You know, to be honest with you, I didn't start out with a lot of research.
Okay.
Because I've always liked history, so I sort of started going through my mental catalog of the time periods that I was interested in. And I was thinking, well, would I want my person to be in Tudor times? Or would I want my person to be in Stuart times? Or Restoration times? Or, you know, Regency or Victorian era? And even though I had always been sort of leaning towards Regency Victorian, I found my mind kept going back to the 17th century. And I thought, you know what? That's where I'm going.
Now, do all of your books include some sort of time travel?
No, not all. Okay. I have two time travel series, and I have a couple of standalone books which are written in what's called modern Gothic, and they're dual timeline stories, but they're not time travel.
Okay, so let's talk about then your very first book.
My very first book basically came out of panic attacks. I left my job when my son was 6 years old, and he, at that point, was fairly severely autistic, and he wasn't making any progress in school. And I got to the point where it really was a choice between what was best for me and what was best for him. And I decided that, I mean, it was really a no-brainer. So I quit my job, and I focused on getting him better, whatever that entailed. You know, I did the research. I did everything I could to, you know, to educate myself as to what I can do to help him take those steps forward. And I was fine during the day, but sometimes I would wake up at night and I would have the worst anxiety attacks because I would start thinking about the future and what's going to happen if he doesn't start to speak, if he doesn't learn how to be even a little bit self-sufficient. So to calm myself down, I started making up stories in my head. And it wasn't just enough to make up a story. What I had to do was I literally had to envision myself writing it word by word. And that would calm me down and eventually help me get back to sleep. And I had always been very much drawn to the era of World War II because I grew up on the stories of my grandparents who had survived World War II. I mean, obviously, their perspective had been from, you know, the Russian war that they had experienced. But I was always more interested in England, and I really did not want to write about Russia. Like, I never felt drawn to writing about Russia. So I just, that's where I set my story. You know, half of my story was set during the Blitz, and half of my story was set in the present day.
Wow, how cathartic and healing for you to realize that you had to do that just for your own safety.
You know, it just sort of happened. It wasn't an intentional thing. I guess I sort of just hit upon it because I found that by distracting myself, it helped me just, you know, when I took psychology back in college, they always said that one way of dealing with terrible thoughts was to sort of go to your happy place. So I kept looking for a happy place, but I wasn't really finding any at that point. So instead of finding a happy place, I just sort of went off a little bit on the tangent.
I love this story. I think it's very inspiring to others who might be listening to you that have life situations that they're struggling to deal with. Thank you for sharing that. Now, you also have several other standalone books, too.
I do. One of my standalone books is Haunted Ground, which has been actually really popular, and it's also a dual storyline, and the historical part takes place just after the English Civil War, and the modern-day part takes place now, and it's a little bit of a ghost story.
And then you have two different sets of series books, correct?
Yes, I have two time travel series.
All right, why don't you tell us about both?
Well, the first time travel series that I wrote is called The Hands of Time, and I had actually thought that I finished it at book five, but I had a lot of requests to continue the story, and I actually just finished writing book six, and it's coming out in February, in the beginning of February. And it was at that point that when I started writing that story is when I kept trying to figure out where and when my character was going to go. And I had settled on the gunpowder plot because I was always sort of interested in it. And I find it fascinating the fact that till this very day, you know, Brits still have their bonfire night on November 5th where they burn the effigy of Guy Fawkes. And, I mean, this is something that resonated through the years. This wasn't just some forgotten plot that nobody cares about anymore. I mean, this is something that really changed the face of British history and led to a lot of events that ultimately really led to where they are today. So I sent my character to a few months before the gunpowder plot and had her get involved, but sort of in a peripheral way, because I didn't want her to be getting too politically involved, because I find that since most of my readers tend to be women, I think some of them sort of start rolling their eyes after a while when you get just too much into the nitty-gritty of the politics of the day. Mm-hmm. So there's enough to create drama and, you know, and excitement, but not enough to bore.
Okay. So that's The Hands of Time. That was your first series that you just finished, the sixth book, and then there was another as well?
Yeah, there's another. I also have the Wonderland series. Mm-hmm. And the Wonderland series, the historical part also takes place in the 17th century, but it takes place later on. It starts out a few months before the Mammoth Rebellion, which was also very important, because if the Mammoth Rebellion hadn't failed, nothing that happened afterward would have happened. You know, all the rebellions that happened afterwards, and the Jacobite Rebellion, and the abdication of James II, and it was just, basically, I had my character go into the past and meet somebody who was throughout history believed to have vanished without a trace, and who had been believed to have been a great supporter of the Duke of Mammoth. Hmm. But in reality, he wasn't a supporter at all. He was a staunch Catholic who was trying to undermine the rebellion because he wanted a Catholic monarch on the throne. And of course, there's a lot of adventure, there's a lot of danger, there's a love story. And my characters do go back and forth in time. So there are periods when they're in modern times, and there are periods where they're in the past. And there are many subplots throughout the book. So there are many other characters who are influenced by everything that happens. And I had actually just finished the Wonderland series, and that's 5 books. And the reason it's called Wonderland is because my character feels like Alice in Wonderland when she tumbled out the rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
And the title Wonderland is sort of meant a little bit sarcastically, because going back into the 17th century was anything but wonderful.
Exactly. I love that. So both of these series, did they start with the concept of time travel? Did you know that this was what you were going to do, or did that kind of evolve as you were writing it?
Well, both series started out with one book. I never really intended to write a series. I didn't think I had enough in me to write a whole series, enough to come up with, enough plots for 5 books.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty thick books. I actually just had one of them printed out, and it was something like 570 pages.
Oh, my.
And they started with the first book, and I did want it to be in the time travel genre. But I wasn't sure, really where I was going to go with it. I thought that I was just going to write this time travel book, sort of have a resolution at the end, whether the character stays in the past or whether she returns to the present. But as I kept writing, I kept coming up with more ideas. And after I wrote the first book, which was the Hands of Time book, I published it. And then people started sending me emails and saying, well, what happened then? Is there going to be another book?
Mm-hmm.
And they felt that I finished it off on a cliffhanger, but I didn't really feel so much that it was a cliffhanger. But I definitely left it open enough where I could pick up the threads and continue.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, hey, why not? So, in the first book of the series, it's one person that goes back. But in the second book of the series, it's her sister who goes back in time, because it took her all through the first book to finally figure out what happened to her sister and where she vanished to. And in the second book, the sister follows her into the past. But, of course, she ends up in the wrong time, in the wrong place, in the wrong situation. And it takes the entire second book to finally get the two sisters to reunite.
Oh, wow. I can see why your readers would want to keep reading and continue this with you. So what methods of time travel do you use?
Well, my first book, I used a clock, an antique clock, and that's why I called it The Hands of Time, because it was a nod to the fact that it was a clock, because my character, Valerie, she tacked after her sister to England to get over a bad divorce, and while her sister was working at the manor house, because she was an art restorer, Valerie was wandering around this seaside town, and she walked into an antique shop to buy some souvenirs for the parents. And she saw an old antique Armalou clock standing on the shelf, and being a little OCD, She turned the hands of the clock because it was set to the wrong time. And at that time, it was 4:05 in the afternoon, and she set it to 4:05, which can also be read as 16:05. And voila, she ended up in 16:05.
Oh.
And in the second book, what I used was a passage in the crypt of a church. And I had explained it as sort of a wormhole in time because the church had been built on crisscrossing ley lines, and it had been built on an old Celtic place of worship that had some sort of mystical powers. So I guess that's the closest science that I could come up with to make it sound somewhat plausible. So my character was able to go through this passage in a crypt into the 17th century crypt of the same church.
Oh.
And, you know, I took it from there. It was actually my husband's idea, believe it or not.
You had some help.
Yeah, you know, like, I like to muse. And he sort of, like, you know, he jumps in with all kinds of ideas. And usually they're completely insane because they're, like, totally Star Trek-y or, you know, Star Wars. And I'm like, no. But this time he was like, you know, he goes, what about a secret passage in the crypt?
Ooh.
Like, I like that.
So sometimes you could pull out a little nugget or a kernel from his crazy ideas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I can. And you know what? I found a real church and a real place that actually had historical connotation. And it actually had a connection to Alice in Wonderland.
Oh.
Because that church has a little it has a little carving of the Cheshire Cat. Mm-hmm. And it was actually the inspiration for the Cheshire Cat. It was more like a little gargoyle that was used as the inspiration for the Cheshire Cat. And this is an actual church in Surrey. So I use real settings and real things, and I try to keep it as real as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Now, do you ever time travel to the future?
No, not really. Mm-hmm. My characters from the 17th century time travel to what is the future for them.
Right.
I mean, they travel to the present, so for them it's a whole new experience.
Right.
But I don't have, like, that type of, you know, travel into, let's say, the 22nd century or into, you know, some unknown future.
Right. That's what I thought. Being a history enthusiast, it makes sense for you to go back.
Yeah, you know what? I'm also kind of, I guess I have a little survivor complex. I guess, you know, my grandparents always told me stories about how they survived the war and what they had gone through. And I always kind of wonder, if I was flopped into that type of situation, would I have what it took to survive?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would I do if I found myself in that type of situation? And I sort of go from there. Like, what would I do if suddenly I open my eyes and here I am? I am in a time I don't recognize. I don't know anyone. I have no money. I have no friends, no connections, and no real understanding of what's going on around me. Mm-hmm. Would I be able to find my bearings, or would I be burnt at the stake within 2 days? You know.
Mm-hmm. Wow, we don't know that these days, do we?
No, we don't.
We don't know about this. Do you think that's why readers are so interested in the idea of time travel?
You know, I think that time travel is just, it's a little bit of fantasy without getting too sci-fi. I think, you know, time travel is women's science fiction. And I think that it's an interesting concept, and I do think that a lot of women are disgruntled with men today because they feel that they're too callous and not interested enough and too quick to just throw somebody away because they don't fit their standard of beauty. And I think women have the idea that men were more chivalrous and more noble and more dutiful and just more devoted. So I think they like that idea of a modern woman experiencing that type of romance versus the romance of today, where people are texting and finding each other on Tinder.
Yeah. Oh, I really get what you're saying. That's very, very true. So you think that the bulk of your readers are women?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have a couple of men. I mean, just knowing from the people who have written to me and who have reached out.
Right.
I mean, there is the occasional man in there. But for the most part, it's women. And it's tend to be middle-aged women rather than very young women.
Sure. No, I get that. I also saw that you are part of a time travel romance and fiction group on Facebook, which I found was interesting. Are there many men in that group that are authors or writers of this?
About two.
Two?
two that I know of. That's a huge group. It's got, I think, over 2,000 members. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that they're mostly women, and they're from all over the world. And they just love the genre, and they will read just about anything in that genre.
Wow.
And they're very vocal and very willing to share their opinions and recommendations. And actually, I enjoy that group more as a reader than a writer, because I get to talk with other people about what I enjoy and get other people's take on things and their recommendations of other books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting that that's such a vibrant group, too.
Oh, yeah, and that group is growing by leaps and bounds. I honestly never realized that there was such an interest in that particular topic. I always thought it was kind of a narrow genre.
Mm-hmm.
But given the success of Outlander and the fact that it was just a series on Stars, I think that also sort of, it invited a lot of new viewers in. People who previously would not have been open to the genre because they thought of it as too much science fiction.
Yes.
But now they're seeing that other than the actual method of time travel, it's really just a historical romance.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. See, I would have agreed with what you said previously, that it was more of a narrower genre. So I'm learning today about this.
Yep. Yeah, it's actually a lot more popular than it used to be, I think. And it's getting more popular because there have been more television series made about time travel and movies made about time travel, where they focus not so much on the science, but just the human factors,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right. Yep. Tell us then about your covers.
Actually, when I first started, I made my own covers.
Mm-hmm.
I would just go online and I would find things that I found appealing that I thought had some relevance to my story. And I would just doctor them up. And this is what a lot of self-published authors do, because making professional covers is actually very expensive. But as my books became more popular, and they became honestly more popular than I ever expected, I never expected to sell more than 3 or 4 copies just to people that I bamboozled into buying them. So actually recently I found someone who was recommended to me, and we worked together, and I updated all the covers for the series.
Oh.
I wanted to pull them together, and I wanted them to have like a central theme
mm-hmm.
and central elements.
That's inspiring that you're sharing that with folks listening, because for a new author to hear that you could start off small, and then as you get bigger and bigger, you grow with your growth, and I find it interesting that you changed all your covers. I think that makes a lot of sense.
You know, I actually started out with nothing. I had absolutely no knowledge of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually my husband, once again, who, he dared me. He literally said, I dare you to upload your book and not be scared and see what happens.
Wow.
And I literally just uploaded my first book on a dare. I made a cover. I had my mother edit it, because my mother used to be an English teacher. And I uploaded it. And I really did not expect anyone to buy it. And when I woke up the following morning, I had 9 sales. And I said, you know, this might have a future.
Wow.
And, you know, as I went on, I became more educated. I started reading blogs and talking to other people and just doing webinars to find out how to sell more books and how to go about it. And then I got a professional editor and I got professional covers. And just little by little, I took steps to get to a better place and a more marketable place.
Wow. So your first upload, was that to Amazon on Kindle? Was that it?
Yes, it was on Amazon. You know, my husband pointed it out to me. He said, look, it says publish with us.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've written a book, go for it. And
so,
like I said, it totally wasn't planned. I mean, we literally did it on the spur of the moment. And that book that I first published, it was called The Inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
That book actually went on to sell really, really well. And just around that time, Amazon had rolled out a new service where if you signed with them exclusively, they gave you certain promotional perks. So I did it, and I took advantage of their perks, and the sales of the book just exploded. I mean, it was just like, oh, my God, you know, and that's where it all began, really.
That's so exciting. So you uploaded it that one night or day, and then the next day, didn't do any marketing or anything.
I did nothing. I knew nothing. I did nothing. You know what? I didn't even so much as post a link on Facebook, because I was worried. I was embarrassed. I said,
yes.
What if people are going to see it? And
yeah.
My husband said, well, that's the
that's
whole
point.
The point. And I said, I don't want people to know. What if they're going to laugh at me? They're going to think that this is terrible. And so So I did absolutely nothing. I just uploaded and left it. It wasn't until, like, I guess maybe 2 months later that I started getting a little bit more educated, and that's when, you know, they offered me this promotional opportunity. And I said, well, of course I'm going to take it. What have I got to lose? So I did, and, like, doing that, I mean, they basically, what they offered was that if you sign with them exclusively, you can have free days where you can offer your book for free on Amazon, and they would sort of highlight it to readers. And I did that, and that first day I got something like 8,000 downloads. And just getting that kind of visibility really put the book on their list. Yeah. And they started offering it to people. And my sales just exploded.
This is very inspiring. Now, do you have hard copies of the books? Are they still digital format only?
I actually have one book right now that's in paperback that I put out in paperback just in October, because I had considered doing it, but the cost of printing the book really makes the books expensive.
Yes.
Because even if you want to make the smallest profit margin, you have to mark up a book at a certain price.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what, it's just really not worth it, because it would cost a lot of money to do it, and I didn't think that I would get many sales. But Amazon has recently offered an opportunity where you could do it yourself. You could put your books into print by yourself, and you don't have to pay anybody. You can use your covers, and you can use your content. And all you have to do is figure out the myriad of rules that they have you follow.
Mm-hmm.
So I put out one book just to see how it would do. And I actually had, some success. So I'm actually in the process of now putting the other books out in paperback.
Interesting. Is that print on demand?
Yes, it's okay. Print on demand.
Excellent. I think you have given a lot of valuable information to any author that might be listening today. As we begin to wrap up, I want to ask you kind of a personal question, but as you've been writing, have you learned anything about yourself?
Yeah, I think I have. Well, first of all, I learned that I actually do have a pretty good imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that I am actually a lot more devious than I ever thought I was. Because, you know what, I had my characters really do some underhanded things and get out of some very tight situations. And I have to say, without patting myself on the back, that I had given them enough wit to really do so in unexpected ways and to take the readers by surprise.
Mm-hmm. So let me just touch on that for a moment. Your characters, do you listen to them or talk to them, or are you in control of them, or are they like bad kids and just take off and do what they want to do?
Oh, no, they totally take control of me. I've tried to explain that to some of my friends, and they said, you sound like you need a psychiatric evaluation. But I think you'd hear that from most authors, is that the characters sort of take on a life of their own.
Yes.
And sometimes I intend to type one thing, and something completely different comes out.
Mm.
Especially when they're talking, when I'm writing dialogue, it's like they just take over, and they just have a conversation, and I'm basically just, taking notes.
And do you ever look at it and think, oh my, where did that come from?
All the time. All the time. And I'm like, I can't believe I just came up with that.
See, I think that's hard for many people to even fathom.
I think so too. You know, it would have been very hard for me to fathom that even 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Somebody said that to me, I would have said, like, yeah,
cuckoo.
Right?
Yeah.
A friend of mine asked, well, why did you name him that? And I said, because that's what he wanted to be called. She goes, how do you know that? I'm like, I can't explain it. That's just the name he chose for himself. He's like, well, how do you know that? I said, because every time I would try a different name, this name would pop into my head and it would be flashing in neon lights.
There you go.
Yeah. She's like, you really are weird. I'm like, yes, I know, but it works.
Weird is working, folks.
You know what? Weird is good.
I love weird. Oh my gosh, this has been so fun talking with you. Well, Irina, is there anything then that we missed that you would like to talk about today?
I just want people to read my books, and I want them to enjoy them, and I want people to reach out to me and let me know what they liked, what they didn't like, what they would like to see happen. I've actually had a couple of faithful fans who have been messaging me regularly, and telling me, you know, I was washing the dishes and I was thinking about this, and you know what, I have this idea and I think this would really work, and you should really give this some thought.
Wow.
And there's actually one woman who is amazing who sent me just that type of message exactly at a time when I had written myself into a corner with this last Hands of Time book. And I looked at that and I messaged her back. I said, Linda, that's brilliant.
Oh.
And I told her that I am going to use your idea, and not only that, but you are going to be a character and you're going to be instrumental to that particular plot for getting things resolved. I said, Linda, you will save the day. And I have written her into the story, and actually everybody in the time travel and historical romance group knows that. So when the book comes out, they'll be looking for Linda Robertson.
Isn't that awesome? So you've got a very interactive audience.
Some of them.
Yeah, some
of them.
I mean,
there are some people who will reach out to me after every book comes out, and they will just, yes, I finished it, I like this, but I didn't really like that, but, you know, I'm looking forward to this.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people that you really never hear from,
mm-hmm.
but they are faithful readers. And mm-hmm. I know they are, because when I send out my mailings, when I have new books coming out and when I send out my mailings, I know that I get a lot of pre-orders from these people.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they don't reach out to me personally,
right.
they're
responding.
There.
Mm-hmm. They're there. Oh, yeah. How exciting for you. You've really created a wonderful and beautiful situation here for yourself and your readers. So with that in mind, where can folks go to learn more about you, and especially where can they purchase your books?
Well, they could purchase my books on Amazon, because I do have an exclusive with Amazon. And actually soon, I don't know the date yet, but soon, the Wonderland series is going to be on audio. So it's going to be available on Audible and iTunes and other outlets of audiobooks, because I have recently sold the audio rights. And if they want to learn more about me, they can find me on Facebook, or they could find me at my website, www.irinashapiro.com, or they could send me a message, irina.shapiro@yahoo.com. So I'm out there.
You are out there in many ways, my friend. We are going to then send everyone to your website, irinashapiro.com, the Hands of Time series, the Wonderland series. Those are books that everyone has to get a hold of. And then your sixth book in the Hands of Time series is coming out in February. So head over to irinashapiro.com to learn more, find out more, and to get copies of your books. Irina, this has been such a pleasure today. I have personally learned very much from you, and I know our listeners have as well. Thank you for sharing you and your wisdom with us today.
And thank you very much for having me. I was very honored to be invited.